Welcome to Tremendous Talk. We got the industry tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Disclaimer: this podcast episode was recorded before the SAG-AFTRA strike.
Hi, I'm Law.
And I'm Ash, and this is the Tremendous Talk Podcast.
Each week, join us as we guide you through the realms of Hollywood and beyond as we speak to industry professionals in the spotlight.
So grab a boba tea and leave your shoes at the door. Welcome to Tremendous Talk!
Oh! Welcome, everyone. My name is Law. I'm a Filipino Indian actor, host, and filmmaker who's happy to have you. Thanks for coming back time to time again. You're the best.
And I'm Ash. I'm a mixed Filipino-American actor, musician, and publicist who is also just happy to be here today.
Yes, it is the start of summer. The heat is rising, but also the workload, I feel like, is also rising. There's a lot of personal stuff we're managing. We're getting by. But are you doing anything for self-care right now? That's my big question. How are you taking care of yourself right now?
It's been crazy. The work days have been intense. I feel like it's summer, but there's an air around us that's like, busy, hustle, work hard, get it done, answer your emails at 11 p.m., which is what I've been up to. So I've been forcing myself to, even if I have to stay up late, I have my non-negotiables for the day. Like, I have to at least pick up my guitar. I have to take a shower. I have to read, like, at least one page of a book. Like, I have my non-negotiables, and I've kind of been sticking to them, and I've been thinking about the ways that I hold myself accountable are the ways that I help other people kind of, I don't know. It's been a time. It's been an interesting time. Burnout has been a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of soul searching, I feel like, on this start to July. But yeah, I'm in a very similar boat. I feel like I'm constantly hustling and like I'm not really like getting anywhere. It's like a treadmill, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Working really hard on this treadmill. And then my birthday's tomorrow. That's giving me a bunch of existential dread right now because, you know, I have no plans. I have no idea what the next year will bring. So that's why I need this podcast is because from a personal, selfish standpoint, I always learn something really wonderful just through our guests and how to manage those feelings. And I'm really excited to talk to Crit. I think he's going to be an exciting guest for me to hear today because he does very similar things to you and I, obviously. But before we get to that, do you have anything going on, anything exciting coming up, or is it just grind mode right now?
Oh gosh, I think it sucks because like you're working and then you black out on everything that you kind of do and there's nothing. I don't even know what I've been up to, dude. Like my day is so full, but I can't tell you what I did during the day. What about you?
I'm so much in that same boat. Like when people are like, what'd you do today? I was just like, well, I was editing today. What were you editing? Wow, there's a lot. Actually, I can't remember. You know, it's just like you get into, and that's my problem too. I will say it's really unhealthy and something I'm trying to course correct is that I will get into, you know, like any creative person gets that zone in feeling. I don't even think you have to be a creative to feel it, but like you get into the zone. You're constantly working. You can't break that feeling or else you might mess up, right? Or like, or you won't come back to it. And then before I know it, it's 10 p.m. and I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like all I've had was caffeine, water, and then
oh my
like,
gosh.
Yeah, it's not good. So I'm definitely in, I need to like rehabilitate my body a little bit, you know, like treat a little bit better. Get some regular meals in. Like yesterday, I didn't eat until like almost 11 p.m.
What?
The day before, same thing. Yeah. And it's like some days I'll like nibble. Like I'll like find, like I'll have like, I'll like cook a bunch of chicken breasts for like, you know, meals throughout the week. And then I'll just like go to the fridge and grab like a little piece and then just, and then keep working. And I'm just like, that is not sustainable, buddy. You're going to kill yourself. So I'm on a learning journey for all that stuff, but I'm definitely feeling the heat of responsibility and summer. I'm sweating right now, actually. Surprise, surprise.
Hashtag responsibility in summer. Yeah, there's no AC in this room. We gotta we keep it about mic quality, audio quality.
I have a small fan going off. And I hope it doesn't bother the audio quality, but
no, it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah.
What a time.
Like, what a time. And it's sad that neither of us have much like on the docket, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that means you'll get to rest.
I mean, it's human. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Though your birthday is this weekend. Tell us what you're gonna like. Okay, what is your? Do you have a birthday tradition? Do you have a birthday like wish? Do you have something you're trying to manifest? Tell us about your birthday.
I love going to the movies by myself on my birthday.
I love that so much.
I always like having like a movie experience. I obviously have to eat something good. Like those are like my points that I love to make. If my friends are around, I love hanging out with my friends. I really want to go to K-Town and like get Korean barbecue and like go drink soju with the boys, you know, but I don't know if it's going to happen because I'm horrible at planning, but a birthday wish is, I don't know. I hope I can get back up on my feet in like a way that I feel grounded. Not like that I'm like maybe there. You know, I've been really living, scraping by for years now. And I'm tired of scraping by. So if I had a birthday wish, I would love the universe to give me like some kind of circumstances that I won't feel like I'm scraping by anymore. And yeah, that's my big wish, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not millions of dollars, not a supermodel girlfriend. I just want to live my life like a normal person.
Oh man, I'm so excited to talk to Crit this week. It's going to be a good conversation. He does so much for every single community that he is in. He is all about representation. He shows up for his community. So yeah, I'm just excited to talk. And also I think it's going to be exciting to just talk in a way that we resonate so deeply with each other in terms of like what we all do and like how we kind of function in terms of entertainment and media and everything. So I think that'll be a nice chat. Yay.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Tremendous Talk Podcast, and today on the podcast we are honored to be joined by Christian Fanene Schmidt, aka Crit. Crit's incredible background includes being a host for MTV Australia as a VJ. He contributes to media outlets such as HuffPost, BuzzFeed, Rotten Tomatoes, there's literally so many of these. He's a writer, he's a consultant, and so much more. He covers Pacifica representation and LGBTQIA issues. And gosh, there's so much that he does. I can't wait to get into it. He's the co-founder and executive director of Pacifica Entertainment Advancement Committee. Welcome to the podcast, Crit.
Woo! Hey, thank you, Ashley and Laura. Yeah, I appreciate you having me. And also for being flexible, because, you know, my ass was burnt out last week. I was like, listen, I need a break.
We were just talking about burnout. We were just talking about it. So,
I think the whole community is why. Like, let's talk about that really quick. It's a thing where all of this representation is supposed to happen in 1 month, right? Like, all of AAPI representation happens in the month of May. All LGBTQIA representation happens in the month of June, and then the rest of the year we're kind of just like floating. And that's like a thing. And that's why I appreciate your work so much, because what you do makes every single day of the year feel like APAM. It celebrates all culture every single day of the year. And you're how let's talk about burnout then. How do you do it? Give us your tips.
No, I mean, gosh, I think, you know, since COVID hit, right? This was the first month that everything was like in person, and I haven't had to be exposed to so many people so frequently before, and I'm realizing now that I'm just not cut out for it. Like, I'm not built for it. So like, you know, and I love how much exposure it's gotten for the organization, especially because it's like, oh, now everyone's aware of who we are. We've really built that up, that visibility. But I'm also like, after I talk on a panel and then everybody's mixing, you know, doing the mix and mingle thing, I'm just like, yo, like, as much as I enjoyed connecting with everyone, I'm so exhausted at the end of it. And then to do that again the next night, and then the next night, it's like, yo, I need to take a break. So yeah, by the end of back-to-back months of, you know, all the AAPI stuff and then Pride, I was just like, yo, I need to take a few days to just do nothing. So you know, that's one thing I'm learning is just being able to put up boundaries for myself and giving myself permission to just stay in bed and watch my stories, you know, because I was like, don't nobody bother me. I'm watching my stories. Get away from me.
I always talk about needing a little bit of time for my brain to melt out of my ears. And I think that's like, I don't know why it's a recurring theme on this podcast, but every guest we've kind of talked to, I think is also feeling that burnout, right? Because it's so much stacked up on each other and there's so much responsibility that we all have in terms of like, we need to be pillars for our community. We need to be the people that are, and it's such a privileged place to be and we're so lucky to be there, but still it's a lot. Like it's, and the burnout is real on our side. But anyway, let's get into you. And I want to know so much about you because I feel like I've seen so much of your stuff. Like I've been entrenched in the world of Crit in the past couple of days, right? And it's a great place to be and I've enjoyed being there. Can you tell us, like, I kind of want to start with the lightning round. We kind of do this last, but yeah. Wow, what do you think about starting with
Let's
this?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. It's super easy questions. It's just a kind of lightning round speed through. Okay. Current song on repeat.
Oh, okay. So I'm kind of stuck on Renaissance. So it's the whole album basically. But okay, when I'm at the gym, I'd be listening to Heated. Like that's my workout song.
Oh, yes. Amazing. I've been loving seeing the videos of Blue on stage with her. That's so crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had a dream the other night that Blue was teaching me the routine. I don't know, like, I think I'm just because I'm seeing the concert at the end of the month with my best friend in New York.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh, you know, amazing. Excited. So yeah, I had a dream and Blue was like, no, you got to do it like this. I was like, so yeah, that popped up.
Oh, to see her live. Okay, anyway, something you're good at that nobody knows.
Something I'm good at that nobody knows. Oh God, that's a hard one. I'm really good at listening. I'm good at listening to my friends and showing up for them. I think the only people who know that are the people who are in my close circle. Because I only give that to them.
Oh, so I love that.
I really show up for my family and that's something that I'm proud of because that isn't always who I was, and so it's something that I've worked hard to being able to be that.
Amazing.
Aw, that makes me happy. I definitely want to talk about that later too. Okay, what is something you're obsessed with right now? Maybe it's Beyonce. I can attest to that for all of us.
Yeah. What am I obsessed with? Let me think. I'm currently obsessed with. I don't know. See, here's the thing. I can't name one thing because I have a very obsessive personality in general. So, yeah, I know. This is problematic as hell in a lot of ways. But I think if we're talking about like fun stuff to do, I think I'm currently obsessed with. Well, I don't even know if it's fun, but I'm obsessed with sleeping and just doing nothing right now. I think that's where I'm at. Yeah. That was a really anticlimactic answer.
And we're obsessed with you sleeping for you.
Yes.
Get your recharge in, man. We want it.
Go to sleep after this podcast. Take the whole day off and go to sleep. Okay. And then we'll wrap it up with going to 7-Eleven. What can I get you?
Ooh.
Oh, God. This is another thing. So I don't eat meat or dairy. So, like, there's nothing at 7-Eleven that I can't really get. If anything, I might get like the sweet and chili Doritos. Like those ones those are my favorite flavor, and it's got no dairy in them. So,
for anyone who doesn't want dairy,
I don't like that term for a lot of reasons.
Yes, I agree with you actually on that.
So I don't identify as that, but yeah, I don't eat that.
That makes me happy. Oh, okay. I love talking about this because I don't eat meat or dairy as well. So whenever I'm on the podcast, I always try to like sneak this conversation in. Take it away or else I'm going to like steer this ship so hard into one direction.
Well, I mean, obviously there are, you know, one of the big things that Ash and I are excited to talk to you about is, you know, we do similar things, you know, we have the same idea of community in mind with the content that we're creating, right? But when it came to creating your committee, the Pacifica committee, right? What was like the need that you felt needed to be filled in the entertainment world and the world in general? What was like the mission statement for you?
Yeah, so for me, it was, I come from Aotearoa, New Zealand. And so I've grown up in predominantly Pacifica spaces my whole life, right? Like my primary school, my high school, for instance, was over 90% Pacifica. So going through university and joining all the student, you know, organizations that are Pacifica led, and just being part of very strong, being surrounded by very strong leaders and being inspired by them. When I came to the US and I was looking for that within the entertainment industry, I just couldn't find it. And in previous years, in the last couple of years, I've been asked more and more to speak as a Pacifica representative on our storytelling and representation. And I was just like, yo, there's no one to really, there's no organization or no formal body to really inform what's out there, right? And there are API organizations, but they don't have Pacifica staff or board members. So for me, it was like, we need to start our own thing, you know? And that's why I reached out to Dana Ledoux-Miller. She was the first person I hit up, and as well as my friend Yanita Le'i and another friend, Isia Longowe. And these are people who I've had conversations with over the years. And it was just like, by that point, though, I was kind of fed up with it, to be honest, because a lot of the time, you know, AAPI Heritage Month rolls around and we're always being erased and nobody's really sticking up for us. And I feel like I'm the only person who was able to kind of get my foot in the door as far as talking for the studios and streaming services. So it was like, you know what, while I have this momentum, let me find someone who actually has standing in the entertainment industry as well, because nobody knows who I am, right? I've come from Aotearoa. My background's in academia and then some, you know, TV hosting in Australia. That doesn't mean nothing to anybody out here. But, you know, someone like Dana has standing. Someone like Isia has a lot of standing. And Yanita at Sundance too. And so between us three, we were able to kind of pull on other people to create our committee. And committee with a K, which is the transliteration of the committee, of course. And yeah, that's how it got started.
Wonderful. That's beautiful. Wow. Can you talk about, go ahead, La.
Oh yeah. No, I had like a couple things that came up in my head as he was talking, but like, you know, when we've talked about AAPI all the time and we talk about like the erasure, we've heard this, the erasure of Pacific Islanders, of that representation. But I'm wondering, since you've gotten started, or even maybe since you've gotten to America, how have you seen that conversation change in recent years? How are people talking about Pacific Islanders, Pacifica representation now?
Yeah, I think just in general, people have been having the conversation about PI erasure for years. Like that's nothing new. But I think specifically in the entertainment scene, I think that's only something that the studios and streaming services are starting to acknowledge now, you know, and they're really starting to understand, I should say, because the education just isn't out there. No one's really providing it. And who's going to push for our communities more than us ourselves, right? And so that's kind of where, again, the burnout comes from exhaustion of having to repeat the same thing, but I understand that's part of the work. But yeah, that's a lot of the task, is just providing that education and being like, hey, this is what a Pacific Islander is. This is where AAPI started. This is how it was helpful, and this is how it's no longer helpful. And here's how we can move forward. So that's a big part of our work, amongst, you know, a few other things. But yeah, May is usually the only time that anybody cares about us. So that's the time to like really, you know, take advantage of that opportunity, you know. And so yeah, that's where we're at.
I'm so curious though, because you spend so much of your time educating. Like that's what I've seen you do so much, is you educate through your panels, through your discussions, you're holding all these spaces. Does your background in academia, and you used to do lectures and everything, how have you transitioned from academia to entertainment, and has your background kind of influenced the way you see the entertainment world?
Yeah, for sure. I think even just from studying, So you know, one thing I try to let people know is the education that I have received isn't even widespread throughout our communities, right? Because I didn't learn that until I got to university. And not everybody has that privilege, right, to go to university. So I want to acknowledge that, you know, despite me growing up in a Pacific island, you know, which Aotearoa is an island in, you know, in the Pacific, you know, it's still not something that, you know, you can take for granted. And so I try to be as patient as possible with people, because, you know, it's like, you know, how do you not know? But then it's like, oh, because, but even back home, people don't know, you know, for the most part, unless you're studying Pacific studies or you have, you know, or you have people in your life who are kind of laying this out for you, you know, and giving you these resources. I mean, it's more readily available now on the internet, but you're not going to have it unless you're kind of looking for it. So I try to have some, you know, again, be generous with how when I do encounter some ignorance on that level. But yeah, as far as academia goes, I think it's helped me how I frame how I'm doing the trainings with people, you know, and just really one thing about me is that when I do these workshops, I start from the very basics and don't assume that anybody knows anything. And I think people appreciate that. And, you know, and I come in with no judgment. I mean, sometimes I might have a little judgment in my head, but I make people feel comfortable that you know, they're not being judged, that they're seemingly not being judged.
Outwardly.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, it kind of starts there. And just the way that I try to make it as engaging as possible, because people aren't going to retain the information or care unless, you know, they care about me and what I'm bringing to the table, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's always about building, establishing connection and all that. And I learned a lot of that through working with smelly little kids who, you know, who have attention spans this small, you know, and it's like, how do I keep them engaged? How do I keep them, you know, so that's played a big part. And I mean, even that, being in front of audiences as a lecturer, that helped me with hosting, you know, and just, but I think more in general, just learning how to connect with people, that's not necessarily something you can learn, but it's something that I've always had. I've always had the ability to have meaningful conversations with people and to listen. And I think that's so much of it. That's like 80% of it, you know?
Yeah. When you're doing so many things, like we would consider you a multi-hyphenate, right? Like you know, with all the roles that you have, which one do you think you are best at? Like if you had to pick one kind of career path, which sounds impossible, I'm sure, because your brain's like, no, why would I choose just one? But yeah. if what are you best at in your own opinion? What do you think?
I think they're all kind of wrapped up in the same thing, to be honest. I think at the end of the day, I try to root all my work in my values and my purpose. And my purpose ultimately is to raise the collective consciousness of my people, right? And my communities. And for me, you know, and that goes back to really breaking down homophobia, transphobia, anti-blackness within Pacifica communities. And I think within my writing, within my hosting, within the consulting, that all kind of ties into that. So there's a big range in what I do, I guess, but on that same note, it's all the same thing to me. So I can't really separate them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's not a good answer. If I had to pick.
No. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. I can't do that because I'm all these things like that.
I can't separate. I think that's also relevant to kind of what we do as well. Like where I'm a publicist, I do these things, I host the podcast, but everything comes down to representation, even within my filmmaking and stuff too, which I think is something the three of us share in common. And it's one, again, it's tiring, but two, like it's so incredible. Right. I just wanted to one, thank you and point out that you just, what you're saying, like these conversations and connecting with people, like you just, the things that you do with holding space, whether it be panel discussion, whether it be IG live, whether it be holding space for your community when you go on broadcast. And can you talk about the way that you've developed this just holding space and the importance of conversation and the importance of communication? How did that kind of come up for you?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, I've had some just real, I think it comes back to I've been really fortunate in the people I've had come into my life, and being able to learn from them and being inspired by how people have held space for me. I can speak about my best friend in particular. Ooh, okay. Now I'm going to get all emotional.
Yes, please. We love it.
No, no, just like, oh my gosh, I'm getting all choked up now. I've been through so much in my life, right? And to have someone really carry you through that, Y'all got me fucked up, man.
We can also good skip, morning. But we're here for this no, too. No, we love morning, talking Chris. About
welcome
this.
Welcome to the podcast.
Kia ora, my friend.
No, I just think, you know, when you have somebody hold space for you and just really understand what it means to understand you and see all the great things about you that you don't necessarily see in yourself, right? And so so for me it's like, okay, I've had somebody pour into me like that. How can I spread that? You know, how can I give that to somebody else? How can I at least let someone see a glimpse of that so they can start that work or they can, you know, find that in themselves? So that's a big part of it for me too. And honestly, like in the small things that I have shared about my journey, as far as, you know, coming out and battling addiction and things like that, like I've had so many people hit me up and just tell me how it's affected their journey and how it's kind of kickstarted them on their path to healing and stuff. So that plays a big part in it. And so I try not to take that for granted when I'm like, you know what, this is an opportunity to that this might reach someone. And even if it's just one person and it changes them, like that makes it worth it, right? So that's a big reason why I keep doing this.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that and your vulnerability.
No, wait, I'm a big crybaby. Like I'm a fucking soap. Like everybody knows that.
We Ash and I are big crybabies too.
Yeah, so yeah.
You're in good company.
When you start to understand what love really is, like then once you know what it feels like, you can give it to yourself and give it to others, you know? And so I think that's I'm so grateful to be where I'm at now. So, yeah.
All right. That was beautiful. That's the podcast, everyone. Bye.
We got to put that on a shirt. Once you know what love feels like, you know how to give it to yourself and give it to the others. That's beautiful. I mean, obviously, all this stuff, like, one, it's a responsibility that you almost, like, put on yourself, right? Like, that need to uplift your own community. But on the days that it gets hard, on the days where maybe it feels like your voice is not being heard, maybe people aren't having the conversations, how do you hype yourself up? Like, what is your mantra? If you have one, what puts you back on track? Is there anything?
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even about hyping myself up, right? Sometimes it's just like honoring those feelings, you know, and just letting them out. And sometimes that's calling best friend or, you know, or calling whoever, my mom, or it just venting, you know, or fucking going up, or going out and playing dodgeball and messing up some white people out there. Cause that's my only chance to, you know, to really, take out my frustrations and that, you know, with no repercussions, right? That's the only space I can kind of do that. Or it's just having a big cry or writing things out. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of sitting in that discomfort and letting it pass, because it's always going to pass. You know, you just got to allow it to do its thing, you know, and not try to tuck it down or anything. Just, yeah. But at the end of the day, like I think it comes back to, again, going back to gratitude, right? No matter what happens, I have so much in my life that I'm grateful for, and that always helps shift things, you know, puts things in perspective. So it's one thing I try to practice. But in saying that, it's hard work. Like, it's hard for me, you know, even though I'm in a much better place than I am. Like, doing that is a daily task a lot of the times, you know, when you're dealing with, especially in this industry, right? There's so much bullcrap that you have to come up against. And so it's a daily task, and I'm not always good at it. You know, I'm not always successful, but I keep trying. And that's the thing that you gotta keep in mind, is that, you know, you might, to be patient with yourself, and if you don't get over things straight away, that's all right. Just keep going. It'll eventually go. And to not be so hard on yourself if you don't get over something straight away.
Being a human. You know what I was just thinking of when you were talking about that? When I go to night, I think of, like, I have a gratitude practice that I practice, but I'm thinking of all the people who include you in their gratitude practice because you do so much for the community. I'm thinking of all the people who are like going to sleep at night and they're like, oh, I'm so thankful for Crit for even doing this conversation, or I'm so thankful for Crit for, there's a video that you put out, dude. It was you talking about, it was a reel, and it was you talking about a night that you had like gone missing and like the police came and stuff.
Gosh.
And
yeah.
Dude, like, can you tell us like, okay, how does it feel like talking about yourself? I can't even though I have a podcast, I can't talk about myself, but can you tell us about just, you know, doing one of these and bringing your story up, you know?
Yeah. No, it's so freeing. Like being in the position I am now where I can talk about everything from my promiscuity, you know, and having no judgment about myself. Cause you know, growing up as a Samoan, you know, who our community is so religious and very conservative, right, when it comes to sex. And so to be able to talk about my past, you know, and the ways that I was out here, not just having reckless sex, like, and when I say reckless, like, I was out in these streets, like, reckless with sex. You know, like, I'm not even playing. Like, oh my God. So my friend Trevel, I remember one time I was with Trevel in the car. We were going to the gym and we drove somewhere to get groceries or whatever. And we drove past the old place I used to live. And I was like, did I tell you I live down there? And Trevel says to me, he's like, yes, you're telling me where you lived, where you've had sex, where you've done drugs. And I'm like, Trevel, like, damn. But that's the truth. Like, every time we go past somewhere, even when I was looking for apartments, I'd go into apartments and be like, oh my God, I've been in here. Like, that's how much I was around. Anyway, to be able to speak about this and not have any kind of shame or just be able, you know, it's really freeing because it's like, I don't have any judgments on myself. And so in that sense, I try not to judge others because it's like, I have no room to judge anyone, but it does kind of, you have compassion for others, right? Who are going through the similar things, right? Or not even similar things, but just knowing that their behaviors are a reflection of just self-esteem or, you know, or just where they're at, you know? And so to that effect, it's made me a much more, empathetic person, but yeah, it's I just feel so much lighter, you know, because I 6 years ago, you know, I remember I went to the LGBT center for a therapy appointment and I was like looking around to see, is anyone looking at me to see, nobody knows me in LA, I just moved here from Sydney, I'm like, nobody gives a shit who I am and why am I like, that's how much of a prison I was in, you know, where I was just so I was just so insecure about anybody finding out that I was gay. Even if they didn't know who I was, just the thought of somebody clocking me was just this fear that I carried with me. And to not have that fear now and to be able to joke about shit and laugh about stuff, that to me is, you know, empowerment looks so different, you know, to different people. And that to me is empowering to be like, I can talk about this stuff and I can share it publicly in the hopes that it reaches someone and it lets them kind of know, oh, you know what, I shouldn't judge myself. Like, look at who's at, you know? So, yeah. Not everyone agrees with some of the things I share. And again, Jamaica was wild. Like, I went missing to hook up with somebody. And my poor friends, oh, my God, my friend Josefina Folau, she's one of my closest friends. And to put her and Whitney, you know, another friend, and Danielle through that, looking for me in Kingston, like 20 police officers looking for me because I decided to go hook up and didn't tell anyone. And then even when they found me in the hotel and I came out into the lobby, because they didn't know which room I was in because they were, yeah. So quick story short, I met a guy off the apps. I went to his hotel room, snuck off while everyone was getting drunk at the club. And then they couldn't find me. And somehow the police tracked me to the hotel, but they didn't know which room I was in because there's no cameras on the floors. So they waited for me until 12 p.m. I came downstairs and like, they weren't letting anyone go home. So people were missing their flights because, you know, they were like, we're not going to leave until we find them. And everybody's a suspect at this point. It was wild. And my friend was like crying. They were like, how are we going to tell his mother? Like, cause they know how close I am to my mom. It was just, you know, and this is all stemmed from me being so insecure and finding out like anyone knowing that I was gay, you know? So yeah, put my friends in pants. And you know what? That shit comes back to me because now my friend just said her little brother comes out to stay with me and now I'm like running, like he's out till crazy hours and I'm like, where the hell is he? Like, so my friend Boss is like, yeah, that's what you get. Like, no, I don't want to hear nothing because you know what you put me through? So yeah, you can have a little taste of that. So You know, I just suck it up and I'm like, you know what? She's right. This is you know, paying my debts, so it's all good.
Hey, at least you're taking it in stride. That's great.
Oh, that's beautiful. Gosh, like but just this idea of freeing yourself from this prison. I really like what you said about that too, because it truly does feel like a prison in your brain. I would love to talk about mental health for a second, because that is such a thing of being stuck in your mind, being stuck in these repeating patterns, being so stuck in your either self-esteem or self-consciousness or whatever it may be. What was the journey for you like to unleash yourself from these like shackles of being the prisoner of your brain? How let's talk about like shadow work and all these things. Like, how did you overcome all of that?
Yeah. Again, I think I was just really blessed to have people in my life who could, who were examples of what it means to really face that darkness, you know, and to really confront all the ugly things about yourself, you know, and be able to accept them and be honest about them. I think that's one thing that I never really was growing up, was honest. Like, I would present myself as being this very honest person and straight up and all that, but, you know, I was just lying to myself in a lot of ways and lying to others and hiding and keeping a lot of secrets. And I think, again, when you have someone who has so much integrity and is honest with you no matter what, it teaches you, you know. And I think the other thing is, like, when someone puts up boundaries and they're like, you know, I'm not gonna tolerate any dishonesty from you, you know, but they still do it with so much love, and and this is a way of them showing again, protecting themselves and showing what love is for themselves, and being like, you know what, as much as I love you, I'm not putting up with this. And so when someone teaches you honesty like that, and that radical honesty, it's scary, but it's like, you know, the only way you can get through this is when you start being that honest with yourself, you know, and honest with other people. So, so to answer the question, the way that I got through it is, again, having people in my life who were able to show me the way. But then also, it was because it was like I had no other choice, right? Like, I was at a point where Jamaica was, that's not even the worst thing that happened to me, you know? Like, when you're out in these streets using and you're getting into trouble with police and whoever, like, my options were, I was either going to be dead, I was going to be in prison, or I was going to lose my mind, you know? Like, I was literally going to, when you use and your brain goes into psychosis and you switch over and you know, you see people in the streets who are talking to themselves and stuff, like, that's the path you can go down when you're using drugs, you know? So those were my three options. And it was like, if I don't change something now, that's what you got to look forward to, you know? And so I had to really make a choice and be like, what is keeping me from being happy? Like, why am I still on this path of destruction? And so much of it was, you know, the internalized hate when it came to, you know, my sexuality. And so once I came to terms with that and came out to my family and publicly, that was only the first thing, right? And then it's all the other stuff that goes along with it in terms of, you know, coming out is like, I mean, it's a big deal. Let me not minimize how much courage that takes, but it takes so much courage to, again, look inwards and like really deprogram all the stuff that you've been taught to hate about yourself and just all the, you know, problematic crap that teaches us that, you know, we're not worth anything, you know? So that was kind of what kind of kickstarted it. Yeah, I've been giving these long-winded ass answers. I hope.
No, I love it.
They're good. That's what we're here. You know, like, we don't get very many platforms where we can kind of just spew whatever it is that we're feeling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, whatever time that you want to take is yours. But no, all good. Speaking of time, we were just like going over some of your tweets and stuff. I love how like real you come off in like your social media posts. I really appreciate that authenticity. But there was one that really sparked my curiosity. It says, find myself doing work on the weekends and public holidays. Hate that for me. And that resonated because, like, same, bro. I was just complaining about, like, how come I'm working on July 4th? How come I'm working on Saturday and Sunday? Mm-hmm. that part of the grind, obviously, that leads to the burnout and stuff like that. And you talked about how kind of like you power through, but is there, what's like the ideal scenario for you when it comes to like workload, right? Like, can you get to a point with your committee that you can like pass off certain responsibilities, or are you the type of person who needs to be part of the process, who wants to be part of that responsibility? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Listen, if I could pay someone else to do this shit, I would. Trust me. I don't want to be doing, you think I want to deal with all these people? And like, no, absolutely not. It really comes down to resources, right? And yeah. Right now, this is something we're just starting. We only started in September, right? So we're a very new organization.
That is crazy to think about.
That is crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
We have no money. So it's like the only way we could, you know, let me not say we have no money. Like we've had people who are generous with donating. But as far as like grants and big sponsors and stuff, we've had stuff sponsored like on a case by case basis. But as far as salaries are concerned, like I'm not getting paid anything for this. And so, you know, once we do lock in a grant or lock in a big donor, like I would love to hire somebody else to come and do this shit. Cause I know people are sick of seeing, like, I think I want to give other people the opportunity to be, you know, have that, front-facing time too, right? Because I know people are sick of seeing my face, and right now everything's just quicker, quicker, quicker. So I would love to, again, help develop other people. And that's a big part of, like, when I had the opportunity, I was able to put Donato Fatuesi on to host a couple of the talks because I'm like, girl, like, I love what she does, and I love her energy, and I want to put other people on. And for some of the talks, it didn't make sense to put her on because it's like, oh, I have personal relationships, so it makes more sense for me to talk because I can dig certain things out of them. But for the ones where it's like, oh, no, she'll be perfect for this, like it was a no-brainer, you know? So I love to give other people the opportunity where I know they've got it in them. But yeah, again, it comes down to resources and money. So, you know, if anyone wants to support Peak, support us so that I don't have to do this.
Yes, well, I mean, shout out to Peak. We'll put it all in the show notes and stuff.
Yeah, like just to that point, to that speaking point, how can someone in Peak or how can people get involved with what you're doing? How would you recommend someone go about that if they want to join the community, not only just the community, but help you do what you're doing right now with Peak?
Yeah, honestly, it's all our stuff is all on Instagram. That's like our main, that's the main way we put out what's going on with us. And so I just encourage people to follow and any opportunities we have or anything, any events we have, we're always promoted on there. I'm someone, I don't like to ask people to do things unless we pay them because there's so much of our stuff, our work that's just undervalued as it is. So I don't like to ask anyone to do anything for free. And on that same note, I don't like to do anything for free for other people because it sets a precedent that it's okay to do this. And so not everybody has liked that when people hit me up and they're like, can you do this? Can you do this? And I'm like, well, you know, culturally speaking, as Pacific people, we don't, you know, you have to offer a meal offer, right? And this goes for AAPI organizations too. You have to understand if you're calling yourself AAPI, you have to understand cultural protocol and you can't ask me to come and speak to your fellowship and do this without giving some sort of nominal meal offer or gift or, you know, like that's not okay to just assume that I'm going to do this labor for free, you know, that because I don't expect that of anyone. So I'm not going to take that for myself either, you know?
Wow. Let's
just a couple snaps
say
in the
it louder for the people in the back. Let's just sit in that for a second. That's so important. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so important. Let's just freaking shout out Peak for a second. You are offering what people don't even get in like a 4-year paid college program. You are offering direct communication with people in the industry. You're offering workshops. You're offering writing workshops. You're offering feedback on scripts. You're offering everything. Can you just like talk about some of the programs that you offer in this program? And can I just say to all our listeners, this program is so important. And there's not a lot of communities out there that are able to give this directly to the community. And you are offering people these incredible resources. Shout out what you do with Peak for a second.
Thank you. Oh, it's it's a tricky one, right? Because you know, you know how the industry is, and how, especially with the strike right now. But it's like, you know, we're navigating. If I had things my way, I would burn Hollywood to the ground and just start something new. But the fact is, you know, right now we kind of have to deal with, you know, for right now in this moment, we're kind of just making the best of what we can with what we have, right? And so yeah. A lot of that requires, you know, working from the inside, which isn't really my forte. Like, that's not, I'm not the greatest at that. But it's the reality right now, you know? And so a lot of people, they don't understand what kind of goes on behind the scenes. And so sometimes, you know, people are trying to hold us accountable, you know? And I'm like, one, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know what's going into this. Two, I'm not getting paid, so I can only do so much. Like, you are asking me to be all things at all times, and that's just not realistic, you know? You can't, and I'm not claiming to be all these things to all these people. We're just one resource, right? So it's like, I'm going to do the best that I can do with integrity, but I just need people to, especially people who don't understand how the industry works, you know, and how things get, yeah, and how, again, this industry is so full of compromise and so full of just very problematic. Like, we're doing the best that we can, you know, and that's not to excuse anything, any bullshit, or, you know, and again, sometimes we might make a mistake, right? But I think people who, yeah, people just need to have a little more, people just need to not be so loud and wrong. I think that's what it comes down to, you know? Like,
because don't be, it's like, loud, yo, and wrong.
Put, yeah, that on a shirt. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I know. I'm just like, yo, y'all are being so loud and wrong. And it's like, I'm burnt out as it is. I don't know what you want from me, you know? And you ain't paying my bills. So I'm not going to take just any old shit from you either. So that's what it comes down to a lot of the time. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for giving me the freedom to kind of just like, it's like every single time we talk to someone, they give you exactly what we need to hear that day. Like, yeah, giving the freedom for us to say our time is valuable, we are worth it. Our resources and what we bring to the table, everything that we have and we can provide communities are so worth it and are so valued. And that is, again, it's not the negative side, but it's kind of the con to being a representative of your community, right? To being a leader in your community, is you have all these things that are kind of coming at you at the same time. Yeah. And I think that's also why I'm so grateful for your honesty and your openness into your story and your journey to get where you are. Because when I look at you, and whenever I talk to you, and when I see you online, and when I see you in all these conversations, because we've been stalking you for a little bit, that's essentially what we kind of have to do. You
it's are called so full research, of- Ash.
I call-
No, listen, there's nothing wrong with a good stalk. Like, I stalking works. Like, hey.
Research, I love it. But you're so full of love. You are so full of love. And I see all the love that's been poured into you throughout all of these years too. I can see it in everything that you do, whether it be like just talking to your community, or again, going on these broadcast channels and just talking about what we need and why we need it, and the way that you communicate with the people that you love, and even communicating with us in this conversation. Like, all the information you're pouring into this is so filled with love. And I'm so grateful that you're doing this for us. And I'm grateful that you're doing this for the community. And it just, gosh, you have such a beautiful story, and what you do is so beautiful for the community. So all I have to say is thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you for that. I do. I hope that what I'm bringing is with light, you know, but and then, you know, on that same note, I always want people to know that, you know, we all have a dark side too, and that's okay. And I think, you know, it's when we kind of embrace that light can really shine, you know, when we really kind of, again, you shine that light on all those parts of you, and then there's kind of no room to have anything else come out except for that, you know.
Normalization of the darkness is very real, and I love that so much.
Yeah. There's some banger quotes in this podcast episode. I love it.
Oh yeah.
I have a problem with people who are loud and wrong, though.
Like, that's, oh my exact- god, I don't-
Be loud, thinking, like, but just don't be wrong.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, like, oh my god, when my mom used to tell me off, like, back in the day. Like, yeah. my mom is she's one of the most articulate people I know, right? And she will, when she's yelling at me and like, you know, because I've come home at some stupid hour, or, you know, back when I was in high school, not even when I was in high school, when I was in my 20s even, and she's like screaming at me, and the speeches she'll come up with, I was just like, in one respect, I was like, you know, I was trembling in my boots, you know, like scared of what she's screaming at me. But at the same time, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm really impressed with what she's, you know, with how she's able to really, you know, because my mom's very polished too, right? And so she's like, yeah, she's like giving me this lashing, but at the same time, it's so eloquent, and I'm just, you know, and it's just so well put together. And I remember one time I said to her after, I was like, you know, this is when we're in a good mood, obviously, not straight after getting screamed at and then hit around the head or whatever. And then afterwards, I was like, Mom, how are you able to come up with these, like, these epic speeches when you're telling me off? She's like, oh, I don't know. It just comes to me in the moment. Like, I was so, oh, okay. So I think sometimes, you know, I think when you're not thinking and you're tapped into something, you know, bigger, like, it just comes through, you know, like you're inspired by something. And that's, unfortunately for my mom, it comes out when she's yelling at her kids. But, you know, sometimes it comes out in other spaces. And so, yeah, I think when I don't think too hard, like, that's when, like, you know, mm-hmm. your truth really comes out, right? As when you're just, like, in the moment and present, yeah.
Preach. Wow, can your mom teach a master class on that? Because I think I need to learn that.
On effective lectures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, full-on lectures. Like, my mom was giving full-on lectures, and I'm just sitting there like, oh, wow, this is kind of good. Like, this is, as a writer who.
And now you're giving lectures. I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, shit. Oh my gosh. Listen, don't even remind me, because I'll be giving. So now that I'm starting this organization and I'm working with a lot of young people too, even just before this, right? Working with young people, and they be giving me gray hairs. Like, I swear, I'm like, yo, y'all are trying to age me, because now I'm telling you off and screaming at you. Like, one time my friend's younger brother was staying with me, and would go out, and I would have my hand on my hip as I'm telling him off, and I'm like, yo, and I'm looking at myself like, yo, snap, you turning me into my mother right now. Like, so yeah, I'm well on my way.
We're all secretly our mothers, unfortunately. No, seriously. And fortunately, in both regards. But you know, we really appreciate your time. We know your time is valuable, and we thank you for spending it with us. But usually when we wrap up, we love passing the mic over to our guests to talk about whatever they want to talk about, whether that might be life advice for the entertainment business or themselves. And so this is your moment. Use our little baby platform and say whatever you want to say. You've said a lot of amazing fire stuff, though, already, so don't feel too much pressure.
Gosh, what do I want to say? Ooh, I think... Oh God, I don't even know. I think I'll just give, you know, what I like to tell young people, you know, just general advice is, you know, just really, I think it's really, if you can spend some time with yourself, really just sitting by yourself and learning who you are and what you want. And, you know, those big soul questions, right? Who am I? What do I want? Yeah. What's my purpose, right? If you sit with those questions, and really, and trust that the answers are within you, you know, like for anything that you come up against, try not to give your power to other people, because you have that ultimately within you, right? And the more that you trust yourself, and the more that you believe that everything you need is right here, you know, the more you'll just feel empowered to do whatever it is you set out to do, you know? And so, yeah, when I speak to young people, not even just young people, right? Like my peers too, it's like, what do you really want out of life? And are you moving in alignment with that, right? And mm-hmm. for me, it's like, you might not necessarily know where you want to go, but you have an idea of who you want to be, at least, and what type of person you want to be as far as your values and that. And the more you move in alignment with that, the more things will just start to flow into your orbit, right? And more that those opportunities that are in alignment with that will come to you. And so... you know, and whatever your religion is or whatever your spiritual beliefs are, like I really do believe, like the more trust and belief and love you have of self, like just the more good things will come to you, you know, and also knowing that, you know, life is like this, like it's a wave, right? Yeah. And there's always going to be downs and there's always going to be these highs, And it's just about knowing that it's whether if you are at a low point in life, just trust that it's going to come back up. And then when you're at that top like that, just be okay with it coming down and know that, you know, at some point things are going to flow down and that's all right too, you know, and just know that it's always going to, that's the way that life's going to be, is like this big wave. And so don't dwell on shit too long and don't get too caught up in the highs, you know, because it's never going to stay there and that's okay. and you'll come back to a really big high, but just enjoy it and just be present in that. And yeah, I think that's it. I'm talking all over the place today, but wow. that's what I...
You just... punched into my chest and like ripped my heart out of it. My goodness, I didn't expect that to hit me that hard, but it hit me really hard. Thank you. Fantastic. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, when you started doing the wave thing, I was like... like just like hold it together, because that's definitely all that stuff really resonates. And we usually do little takeaways after our guests leave the episode, and I think Ash and I have our work cut out for us and what we want to talk about. But again, thank you for your time. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. I hope you enjoyed your time on Tremendous Talk, and you're welcome back anytime you want to spread the message.
Hey.
Literally, yes. If there's anything that comes up, whether it be like a program that you're involved in or something that Peak has coming up that you kind of want to like announce, or even if you want to have like a Peak panel, that'd be a great opportunity too. Like, there's a bunch. Like, we just want to highlight y'all so much because you do so much fucking fantastic work. So.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And again, thank you for having me, because and being flexible, because I've enjoyed this talk, and I coming in today, I was like, I'm so glad I can bring my best self, even as washy as it was. Like, I just feel like I'm in a much better place to show up, you know, and you can only do that if you give yourself that time to really rest, right? And so I hope I'm glad that it worked out for you as well. I hope that's what it meant, was you got to have a little break as well and come in.
You know how he was saying that his mom, like, yelled with eloquence? Everything he said felt eloquent or poignant. You know what I mean? He's meant to be spreading this message.
I love when we talk to people and we can hear, like, we see where they are now and we're talking to them in their present state. But when we hear about their journey, we can see every part of that journey kind of within who they are today. Yes. Like, between his mom and the eloquent yelling and the lecturing and stuff, like, all of that has helped shape who he is today. And it's those small things, right, that you don't really think about, and it's so integral to your being at this moment, which is, let's journal about that later.
Yeah, I know. There's like, he said so many things that are like, I could talk about in the takeaways, but really it's like more self-reflection time, right? There's like, I mean, some of the stuff that he says was simple too, you know, like when he talked about like life being a wave and there's lows and highs and that the lows will come back up. That's not like something I've never heard before, but it was poignant for right now where I am in my life. Like, my big takeaways were like, don't give your power to other people. Set your boundaries, right? Understand the value of yourself, your time and your energy. All that stuff I need to hear right now in this point in my life. He's got a crazy, you know, story of overcoming some really difficult disease, you know, like addiction's not easy to overcome. Finding your sexuality and then being public with it is not easy for anyone. You know what I mean? So, the fact that he was vulnerable on this podcast enough to share his wisdom, but also like align with our message, you know, like what we're trying to do. We're all at the end of the day uplifting communities, but like, I like that it goes further for him in that we're uplifting self too. Know, love yourself more. Those are my big takeaways today. I feel very humbled.
Wow. We're in such a lucky space where we truly get such wonderful advice, not only for the entertainment industry, not only for like professionals in their careers, but just as human beings getting the stuff that we kind of like just need to hear in the moment. I think for me, it's a lot of like the judgment stuff, because I went through dark stuff in the past and I was really judgmental, not only towards myself but towards everybody around me, and now embracing a place where I'm honest and I'm sincere and I'm authentic in everything I do, and just to live in that and just to be open and live in love and live in gratitude. I think it's just a reminder. And yeah, lots of self-reflection, lots of self-reflection. I hope everybody who listens to this has a notebook out right now. And I mean, not if you're in your car, please don't have a notebook in your car, but like just have a notebook and like sit with yourself for a second. I think that's a good reminder just to sit with yourself. Huh? Wow. Yeah. I didn't expect it to get that deep. That was awesome.
It got deep as hell. Yeah. And I don't know what it was. Like maybe he sensed maybe the universe sent him the energy that we were feeling because we were not as high energy. And then it got deep and like reflective. And then now here we are at the other end. Again, night and day change for me. Like I know like maybe my energy level didn't. I'm not screaming right now. I don't want to be loud and wrong after all. But like at the very least, I, you know, like my heart settled a little bit from the dugun dugun I was having earlier. You know what I mean? So that meant a lot to me. What a inspirational person. I do hope he comes back and I hope he brings his other peak, his peak friends. Cause like, we've had two of their board of directors or like their board members on before already, and they've both been inspiring and wonderful. And it's true, like there has been quite the erasure of Pacific Islanders. Like there's the topic of like they're minorities, but whether they're the minority within the minority, you know what I mean? We talk about it for like brown people, brown Asians, right? But like imagine that step further removed, right? Feeling further removed. So yeah. This was super important to have a mom, and it's super important to hear the life experience and also how much hard work goes on behind the scenes, how little value sometimes you are perceived as having, and how to increase that value in the eyes of other people, especially, yeah, unfortunately, a white society. There's some real bangers in this episode. I'm going to definitely listen back to this one. Yeah.
What I do want to do is I want to do gratitude. Tell me what you're grateful for.
Just like in life these days?
Yeah. I just want to talk about a little bit about gratitude. Like you can say one thing, you can say four things, whatever you want to say.
Yeah. In terms of gratitude, I'm, you know, at the end of the day, as many complaints as I have about like my lot in life, I'm still healthy. I have a roof over my head. I have a family that loves me, you know. I have friends that love me. And I'm grateful that, like, although I'm really bad at asking for help, I think I have some solace in knowing that if I do need the help and I did ask, I would have plenty of hands there to help me. And I'm grateful that I do have a network around me like that. All right. What about you?
I love that. I'm grateful for my husband, and I'm grateful because, man, I've had some days and it's so nice to have a person who's like, hey, did you eat food today? Do you want a snack? So do you want to go to a movie because you can't stop crying? Like those small things, just having a support system. And he's a fantastic support system in this room that I'm in the studio right now, the studio that he built. So I'm very grateful that we can share beautiful spaces. I'm grateful to have this platform where we talk to so many fantastic people and they give us such wonderful inspiration, advice, what we need to hear. Apparently I'm grateful to have you as a co-host. I'm grateful that we even get to have our voices be out there. Cause that in itself, what a privilege that is.
Yeah.
Truly the list goes on and on forever, but I'm grateful to breathe air. I'm grateful for sunshine. Grateful to have a hybrid car.
Yeah. I wish I had a hybrid car. Gas is so expensive.
Oh man. Oh, if you use download the Chevron app, and I think you can get $1 off your first three visits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, Chevron. It's
great. I love that perk.
That's actually great. Yeah. But that's funny. This is like a random segue, not a segue, but like tangent, I guess. But I saw the post you made about your hubby, about how it like keeps you good. And that's so good to have that kind of love in your life. And Crit kind of mentioned it today too. It's just like, once you know what real love feels like, you know how to like, give it to yourself and give it to others. And I think that's like a great place as any to end the episode. You know, love each other. Love yourself more than anything, though. Mm-hmm. Times are hard, Ash. But we're going to make it through. We're going to keep it wavy, baby.
Wavy, wavy. I can't wait. Like, and whenever this chapter, this period that we're kind of in right now, I'm excited to come back to this episode and the episodes that we've kind of filmed when we're in the space of like burnout and we're tired and we like we're having these conversations that come to us organically. I can't wait to revisit that and just look upon it and kind of reflect on how that feeling was when we're at a different space. Maybe we're here or like in the middle or we're up or just the roller coaster of life.
Yeah. It's always nice to look back and reflect on where you've been and kind of figure out where you're going at the same time.
Yeah. Wow. This episode is something else. Thanks for on this train, everybody. Wow. Thanks for listening.
This ended up being like really like emotional and like deep, and you know what? We're better for it, I think.
Yeah, we needed it, I guess.
Well,
you know what, Law?
Yeah.
You're What's tremendous. That?
Oh my God, you're tremendous, Ash.
Oh, Chris, tremendous. Thank you.
All these people listening, you're tremendous. And I guess we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye. The Tremendous Talk Podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Giralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk Podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.